What's up, guys? This is Jake Collinson from Judiciary, and you are listening to Interview Under Fire.
All right, everyone, welcome back to another edition of Interview Under Fire, your beloved host here in Sunny, as always. And today, I'd like to welcome, finally, a monstrous talent in Jake Collinson. It's an honor, man. Thank you so much for joining our IAF series today. I was looking forward to this one, right? Because, you know, we're closing in on an exciting time of the year for you and the rest of the guys over at mighty Texas Favorites Judiciary with the drop of your upcoming album, Flesh and Blood, which unleashes March 10th on closed casket activities. Bro, congratulations, first off, because you guys have been picking up steam as of late, okay? The reception has been nothing short of spectacular, and shout out to the other outlets like Revolver, Stereo Gum, just to name a few, who have been like praising your work. I can't wait to just unpack so much about this insane album and everything that went behind this. Now, before we get to all that, Jake, I know we talked, did a little pre-interview before this. I don't think I even asked you, like, how are you? First off, you know, I know it's 2023. Somehow we've aged, you know, a couple of years. I'm still mentally on 2019. I'm slowly getting over that, but you have this exciting year lined up. I mean, weeks away till the album drops. Have you had the chance to just take this all in, man? I'll cheers to that.
Man. Yeah, absolutely. Cheers, man. It's been a busy few months, honestly.
Of course.
Like, between getting things ready for this album rollout, things in, like, personal life going on. I've had a sinus infection for the past week. I don't know if you can hear me. I'm still a little stuffy.
I just got over the flu, so I'm right there with you. I'm still on, yeah, like, my last day of antibiotics, I believe, today. So
I'm about to start antibiotics. The doctor finally put me on them. So
today there's, like, air pollution shit going on in Dallas. I don't know if you guys have the same thing, but it's, like, in North Texas, everything, it's bad. Don't even leave the house. Anyway, that's the Texas life. Everyone knows, for anyone who doesn't know.
Oh yeah, I'm sure, like, closer to downtown in San Antonio, there's probably some good smog going or something like that. But I live a little bit northwest, so yeah.
It's Texas. If there isn't a dirt storm in Texas, I mean, are you really living?
Oh my God, I don't know if you've seen any, like, if you know anybody that lives in Lubbock right now, but our guitarist Israel still lives in Lubbock. And he sent us a picture, and the sky was brown. It looked exactly
So all my friends moved out of Lubbock after they graduated from Texas Tech. So I don't have any friends there now, but I believe you.
Thank God.
Makes sense. God. I feel like it's going to come on its way down here. It's already been kind of dusty this morning. But
it's going to happen.
And here's the thing, man. You guys are from Lubbock. I want to make sure people know that. You know, for fans and listeners who may not know, right? I want to start this interview off in an interesting note, because I'm going to go back to 2013, bro. Maybe even before that. Because that was a significant time for you, because it entailed the formation of Judiciary alongside your bandmates. You know, Jake, here's the thing. If you could briefly just talk about that moment in your life that, you know, when you knew that this is what you wanted to do with it going forward, because I feel like everything has went by in a blink at the same time. 10 years of Judiciary, technically. I mean, have you had the chance to look back on that? Like, what was the music scene like in Lubbock at the time? Like, you know, because let's use this moment to reflect, because I feel like we haven't done that much lately, but I feel like you're looking around thinking about what I'm asking you. But yeah, how did the formation of Judiciary, like, you know, come to the surface, really?
Well, so basically for the original four of us, so me and Austin, our drummer, we grew up together. Like, we went to the same school, a little small town north of Lubbock called New Deal, population 700. And we rode the bus together. We played fucking t-ball together, and we started hanging out more in, like, middle school and everything like that.
Yeah.
So, like, we've been, I like to call him, like, one of my life partners. And, like, we've been attached to the hip for a long time now. So me and him were good friends. I met Israel through an ex-girlfriend when I was in high school. He, you know, went to her church. I met him, we hit it off. Then Kyle, our bassist, I met him when we were going to shows in Lubbock. So, like, to talk about, like, the music scene within Lubbock, I think the best way to put it is just very, very small. Like, when, you know, when I was in high school and when I started going to shows, there's a bigger metal promoter in town, who's been booking shows in Lubbock for, God, probably, like, 20 plus years at this point. So he'll book like metal tours, metalcore, some death metal stuff like that. And then there was another group of promoter guys that named John and Aaron
Yeah.
that would bring through like pop punk shows, some hardcore shows, some other metalcore shows. And I went to a lot of their shows, and that's kind of how we all convened because Austin and Israel were in a band together. I faked playing bass in that band because I couldn't play bass for shit. And then that band ended.
Yeah.
And it was about that time that I had just graduated high school in 2013. And, at the time, I was just kind of like coming into my own and really, 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 really latching onto hardcore. I had been into hardcore like for like committed for probably like a year and a half, 2 years at that point, but like
Yeah.
I was like, this is my shit. Like I before that I was into like deathcore and like the metalcore of the time and everything like that, but like this felt like something of my own, and I loved it immediately. So me, Austin, Israel were like, well, we still want to like do a band, like we should just start our own. So we went out to Austin's parents, like they had a little room in the back of their garage out in the country, like surrounded by cotton fields,
Yeah.
and so we didn't have to worry about noise. And the original idea was to make like a melodic hardcore band, and then we just couldn't write a melodic hardcore song to save our fucking lives.
Did you know that you were going to be the vocalist out of all, like, you're the four of you guys?
Yeah, because well, because
Okay.
I didn't. I couldn't play any other instrument. I played trombone in high school, and like
Right.
before that, in other bands, I was like yelling and stuff like that. So like I knew how to do it, but like me, Austin, Israel just got together. We couldn't write a melodic song to save our fucking life, and then we, in between trying to write these melodic songs, they would just play hardcore. Like they would just jam hardcore stuff. Like that was of the time. Like a like. Try to listen to a backtrack song and build something off of that or something like that. And that's kind of like we kind of all looked at each other one day and we're just like, this is what we should be doing. Like
Yeah.
this comes way more naturally. And then like we wrote, I think, three songs, and then we asked Kyle. Kyle wasn't even a bass player. He played
Like, here,
guitar.
play this.
Well, he played
Yeah.
guitar, and we were
Yeah.
like, hey, you want to buy bass gear and join this band with us? And he was like, yeah, sure, whatever. And so he bought bass gear and joined the band. And obviously, eventually, we've gone through like a couple member changes, and
Of course.
we became a five piece eventually. But that's kind of how the origin started, was just us jamming and naturally forming into a hardcore band, and then picking up Kyle, and he was kind of like a big brother in that regard because he's like 4 years older than all of us. And he kind of guided us to like take it a little bit more seriously, but still have fun. And like, do basically the mantra of the band at that point was like, we're just doing cool shit to do cool shit,
Yeah.
essentially. Like, let's have fun.
And
So.
speaking of cool shit is because speaking of cool shit, and I want to talk about the thing that makes Judiciary is the live presence that you guys put on stage. And considering what you just talked about, how you guys have played together, right? Chemistry, that's the one thing I heard on this album. I mean, holy shit, from top to bottom. I'm going to get to that in a little bit, but I want to talk about that live presence because this is a topic I'll never stop talking about. And you guys have been making the rounds lately as far as the live presence, because I mentioned the Nails show before the interview started. For anyone who doesn't know, I first saw Judiciary back in 2017 with Nails. Still the loudest show I've ever been to. I don't think I could hear anything for the next 2 days. And I had a job interview the next day. It was rough. I did get the job, just so you know. But that was just more ice in my veins. But I mean, you guys have toured with the likes of bands like Vane and Power Trip. Shout out to Riley, and of course, that movement, the Acacia Strain, Exhumed, Gatecreeper. You guys have this your album release show coming up with Inclination, Tribal Gaze, and Future Shock. Considering how much touring is going on, right, with all these bands, and whether you're a fan or even just an artist on stage, what is it about live music that brings out the best in you, Jake? Because I feel like out of anything you've done, like, this is where you really are in your element. Because I remember that set so well. This is a set from 6 years ago. I'm going to see you guys again next month. I can't wait. Holy shit. But, you know, what do you love about it? Because you could talk about being nervous in front of the fans, you know, and when you're there, you kind of, or you could just forget about everything that's happening in life. And you kind of just, it's like a release for you guys, I feel like.
I think it's kind of a cliche, but it is like a huge escape, like from what the hell is going on outside of the four walls that you're in at the time. Like, for me, like, especially the live performance, especially when we're on tour, it's like, hey, I have 20 to 35 minutes of my time that I've been waiting for all day so that I can release and get all this out, get all this energy out that I've been like building up all day, and B, like, these people, you know, especially if we're at a headline show, it's like these people took their hard-earned money and came and spent money just to see you play these songs. So it's like, let's give them a good fucking show. Like go all out. I'm going to be ever since I was a kid, I always loved watching live videos of people playing and everything like that. So it's like, I think it's the coolest thing in the fucking world to get up on stage and people paid money just to see these songs that you wrote. And I get to just have fun while I'm doing it. I get to jump around and fall down and make an ass out of myself, but have fun while doing it. So yeah, I think it's just awesome.
And what's really unique is the connection that you guys have with the fans too. And I've seen the live videos and I've experienced it myself. The interaction you guys have with the fans, hardcore, I feel like it's so different more than anything else, because there's a connection like no other. You could play in my room, or you could just play in a solid size, like a House of Blues set, That's the thing about hardcore. It's such an intimate genre where I don't know. You can't really explain it. You get what I'm saying? When you're at these shows, the fans connect with you in a whole different way than I feel like any other genre. I'm not knocking the other genres, but hardcore has that personal connection that I feel like personally that I haven't had with anything else. You mentioned you grew up with that same feeling, I feel like, before Judiciary formed. So
yeah,
I just wanted to mention that. I don't know if you wanted to add anything to that, but
I mean, that's what hooked me into hardcore is the intimacy and it's just obviously growing up in Lubbock, we didn't get all the big hardcore tours that a scene like Dallas or San Antonio or Houston would get. So it's like, I was living on the internet scouring for videos of this feeling that I could feel from a computer screen, watching a video of an old Power Trip Edge or Not Day in Dallas 2012. That video fucking stuck out in my mind. The second when they start lighting the flag on fire,
Start flying. I'm getting goosebumps as you're talking about it.
you look at this spectacle of what's going on, and you're like, why are these people able to cross the stage? Why are they tackling the guy with the microphone? Why are they taking the guy from the microphone? Shouldn't they want to listen to what he's doing? Why are they throwing chairs? Why is everybody okay with it? It's such a spectacle, and it hooks you in. And then afterwards, Riley will get off stage and say hi to you as a person. I think that's the coolest thing about hardcore is that the guy that you see on stage that's playing will be by your side shouting the next band's lyrics back to them in a heartbeat and moshing. I don't know. Hardcore's cool, man.
And quote you on that. Jake, you mentioned Riley. I want to ask you this about one of your favorite memories from him. If you can share it or not, it's totally up to you. But I wanted to mention my last memory with Riley was the last time they played in Dallas was 2020, was the Evil Beat Volume 2. I don't know if you were aware of that. It was a one-day festival, and I believe they headlined with Carcass. They co-headlined. Great show. But Riley, man, with the way he just dove he just stage diving in the crowd singing, Executioner, Tax Executioner, I can't remember the name, it's leaving my memory, but he sang that, and then he came off stage, just the energy he just puts on stage coming off, he gave me a little high five, and just And they're little kids, like, looking up to him, you know, like, just backstage. And that influence that he really put, not just kids, but, like, people like us who are in the scene, that imprint that he left. But just that last memory I have of Riley will always stick with me. And right when that happened was the pandemic. And then I believe he passed away a few months after that. But may he rest in peace, you know, rest in power. But did you have a good memory? I know he's an influence on you, Jake. So I don't know if you want to mention something about Riley, keeping his memory alive, keeping the legacy, because I feel like he left it on both of us, if anything.
Yeah. So I'll get into, like, some specific memories of him.
Sure, sure.
But, like, him in general as a person, something that I really, like, took away from his life and something that I have tried to, like, do in my life is, like, he was such a bridge connector, man. Like, and he was just so giving, like, whether that be knowledge or, like, just helping you out wherever you need be. Like, judiciary, he didn't know judiciary when we first started. We were a bunch of fucking dorks from West Texas. And it was very hard for some people to grasp that we weren't, like, we were with it, essentially, at the start. And he was one of the first people to kind of, like, befriend us. And he offered a bunch of advice when he didn't need to. He offered us a bunch of connections when he didn't need to. He's the reason why we, like, started talking to Arthur. And that's a big reason why the last two records that we've done sound the way they do. So, like, he was just such a giving person, and he always wanted to connect people who he thought could make something special. And I really admired that about him, outside of, like, his just general wealth of knowledge. Like, and I admired him as a songwriter, as a lyric writer, as a person, a friend, everything. So yeah, may his memory live on. I have two really funny memories, though, that were two of my favorite things about our interactions with each other. So I was listening to a podcast that he did with somebody. And I don't know if you remember, it was like South by So What 2016, 17. That viral picture of the girl getting proposed to in the middle of the pit. There's a picture. I'll send it to you afterwards.
Okay.
If you can find it.
It's coming to me. Because the So What Festival is actually coming back here in Dallas. But anyway, that's a whole different discussion.
So there's a picture of a girl getting proposed to in the middle of a power trip pit, and there's people moshing around them. And there's this one guy that went viral because he is kicking, like, doing a Spartan kick in the middle of the pit. And he kind of vaguely looks like me. And Riley was doing that guy kicking when I had my hair short and everything.
Yeah.
So I was listening to a podcast years after this picture went viral, and somebody asked about that picture. And it was on the Yeah But Still podcast. Now I remember. And he goes, yeah, that's actually my friend Jake, who plays in this really cool band called Judiciary, that's kicking in that picture. That is not me at all. For years, Riley thought that I went viral on the internet and I was the guy kicking in that picture.
Who is
and
that?
I thought
guy?
That was, I don't know.
Shout out to this guy. Shout out to this. I have seen this picture.
Yeah. And it was funny too, because I texted him right after that and I was like, dude, like, you've thought for all these years that is me. That is not me. And he was like, no shit, I thought it was you this whole time. And so that was a really funny memory. And then, honestly, my last interaction with Riley was when we were on the Gate Creeper, or in-person interaction with Riley.
Yeah.
Was when we were on the Gate Creeper Exhumed tour in December of 2019. Frozen Soul was playing. We were up next because Frozen Soul opened the show. And I was standing by a few friends, and I was getting ready. I had my, like, cut off shirt ready to go. I was just kind of warming up my vocals, kind of stretching my neck and everything like that. And then I just feel somebody spank me really hard, Somebody spanked me, and then he comes up. I just feel these arms on my muscles. He goes, "Look at these muscles." And then, like, I realized it was him, and I gave him a hug and everything like that. We talked for
Oh
a second.
man.
But like, it was funny that that's the last interaction I had with him. But
You see
like,
how it
yeah, that
just
was in.
sticks with you, like that memory that he just leaves on us? I just,
Yeah.
anyway, just
And he was, it was
I
like he said he was excited to see us. Like, turnout was good, like a pretty normal interaction with him. But like, yeah, it's like he when he talked to you, it stuck with you. And I think that was something really special
exactly.
about him. Yeah.
Man, Jake, thanks for sharing both of those memories. That the mosh, the proposal, that the that's never gonna leave this memory from mind. That's hilarious. I love that story. Probably one of the favorite stories I've ever had on this podcast. And I've had so many amazing guests like you on here. But shout out to Riley, his family, to Power Trip, the guys from Power Trip. Nothing but love for them. It's really cool to see what you guys have been doing along with bands like Frozen Soul and Gate Creeper, you know, who are keeping his memory alive with these shows. You know, it's really cool. It's almost like a Power Trip is being viewed through these bands. It's almost like a vessel in a way. But it's spiritual, I gotta say. But hope to see you on that wrecking ball later this year. But that's just the fan in me. Now,
We'll see.
speaking of the fan in me, bro, let's get to Flesh and Blood. Holy shit, we talk about everything but the album. This drops March 10th on Closed Casket Activities, and this is an insane follow-up to your 2019's Surface Noise, which I absolutely love that debut record. I feel like, now hear me out, it really puts you guys on the map within the hardcore scene. And I want to ask you this, because I've asked this to one other person, because I feel like this is not discussed enough. I feel like there's a revival of the hardcore movement lately. You guys, Kublai Khan, Knock Loose, Capra, even the Ghost Inside, they're back, you know. Employed to Serve, Vane, Jesus Piece. So many bands you can name. The bands even that you're touring with. Do you feel like, Jake, I'm asking you, that there is a newfound appreciation of the genre now? Or has it already been there? Or maybe I just didn't see it? Because just the fact that all you guys are dropping all this new material at the same time. We had the So What Festival that I just briefly mentioned last year. Good Lord. I mean, you had, I believe Spite was there, Knock Loose, Hatebreed, Ghost Inside, all those bands were there. I've never seen a turnout of the hardcore scene like this in locally. I mean, of course, Wrecking Ball came a few months later. But what are you seeing, man? Do you see this newfound appreciation, this new era of hardcore bands coming out of the forefront? I mean, holy shit, these new albums that are just, my library is filled. My music library is filled with hardcore music, and I love it.
I think that it's been happening, but I think it's getting to a new level now.
Yeah. I know it's a loaded question,
With
but I know it's an important one to ask.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, I think that like the rise in hardcore, especially recently, can't be ignored to like the people. Because when I say it's been happening for years, it's like a band like Power Trip was a huge part of that. Like bands that came from hardcore originally and broke through the ether, broke that glass ceiling, and are now like mainstream things. You think about a Power Trip, you think about a Code Orange, you think about Turnstile, who's the
I
biggest
was just
fucking
thinking
band in
about
the world.
Turnstile. Yeah.
Like, and then like now, you know, if there's one thing that I guess benefit that COVID brought, which have brought a lot of bad shit,
Yeah.
but like I think that it gave a lot of people who normally weren't into hardcore a lot of time to sit at home and check out new things. And I noticed that, especially when shows first started coming back, my friends over in the Bay, in like the Gulch Drain, like Tsunami, those guys, their bands all just fucking exploded.
Gosh.
Scowl too.
Gosh,
And like they
what show is that? I think I know what you're talking about. It was the,
not in
yeah.
NSFW weekend.
Holy
It was
mother. The
Gulch's.
pictures I saw from that show. Oh man,
Yeah.
I wanted to
Well,
be in there, and I'm not a mosher anymore, but I wanted
and
to, yeah.
I think that a mixture of like stuff like, you know, the bands that have been doing it for a long time and pulling people up with them along the way. I mean, Knocked Loose is like a prime example of that. Like, you know, obviously there's debate on like the genre within they sit, but they're fucking hardcore kids.
Yeah, they are.
And like they have been bringing hardcore bands on tour with them for fucking ever. And they don't have to do that at all. Like if they just wanted more people at their shows, they could just bring people that would draw more people. But instead, they bring hardcore bands that normally wouldn't have this platform, and they pull them up with them. So I think that between the bands that have been doing it for a long time and breaking that glass ceiling, and this newfound interest within this, because again, like I was talking earlier, hardcore is so fucking captivating. It's hard not to pay attention to it. There's a reason why hardcore videos have gone viral on like Barstool Sports so many times, because people are like, what the fuck is happening? But for every negative, what the fuck is happening? There's for every 10 negative, what the fuck is happening? There's one positive, like, what the fuck is that? You know what I mean? So, like, yeah, I think that that's why, and it's happening. And I think that it's just going to continue to happen because hardcore is fucking cool, man.
And case in point of what you excuse me, what you just talked about with Knock Loose, they just finished a tour. Well, I don't want to say just, I mean late in the fall. We covered the Bring Me the Horizon, Knock Loose, Sick Brain, and Granson. I mean, look at those four completely different genres. And Knock Loose brought these fans into their world of kicking and screaming and moshing. Like there were like little girls who were nervous, but they after that, after their set, they're like, who were those guys? And they went merch sold out just like that. So
I
I'm
mean,
just saying.
we toured with Knock Loose for like a week after they toured with the Day to Remember, and
Isn't that crazy?
there were people that showed up to the Knock Loose shows in a Day to, like fresh a Day to Remember shirts that they bought from the other show, and
Great point.
they watched bands like us, and like that's the way that shit happens. That's how it captured me. Like I, because otherwise I wasn't gonna find hardcore. I got a hardcore band on a metalcore package, and I showed up in my skinny jeans, and I go, "What the fuck is that?" And that becomes my thing. Like that's how it happens, man. It hooks you.
Shout out to all the people who've gotten us to this point, you into this point, and I love what you guys are doing. Hardcore, man. It's a world that you don't want to leave ever. Now, I'm gonna dive into this album a little bit further because I know some bands can have a difficult time finding their groove early in their career. I know it's early for you guys, but you guys have found it. I mean, as far as like, second album, but the challenges of being one of even like the newer bands like in the industry and getting yourself out there, you guys are standing out. I know the first album garnered recognition from like different outlets, like I mentioned, like Revolver, and you guys also piled up millions of streams in the process, dude. But Jake, here you are, man. New year, new album, even new chapter for the band, if I can even mention that. Do you feel pressure after like hearing all this recognition, like I'm mentioning it to you? Like these are all facts. These are numbers that I'm throwing at you. You know, when you sit down and write again for a new album or even just some new material, does that seep into your head like pressure, or are you just like, oh, you know what? I got my debut album out the way. I'm gonna do whatever the fuck I want. Let's go. How do you find the balance in between that?
So I think that there should be a level of pressure that you put on yourself to top the last thing that you did. I think we did that quite a bit. And I think that that's just because of the mantra that I mentioned earlier, is like, let's do cool shit that makes us happy and makes us proud. And that's kind of the direction we went with it, was like, okay, we can't write Surface Noise Part Two. Like that just does not sound interesting to us. Like let's try to get a little bit more of these metal influences that like we kind of, when you kind of self-reflect, and it's like, what got me into heavy music in general when I was younger? And then you start like looking at albums that you really enjoy even in your adult life that help like hold up now. So it's like stuff like God Hates Us All by Slayer. Like that was like a huge thing.
How did you know
Machine
I was
Head
going to
Burn My
mention that? How
Eyes.
did you know I was going to mention that? I was going to mention that. I was going to mention Chimera's Impossibility of Reason, which is one of the first albums I ever bought in my life. I know I interrupted you. I apologize, but I have to mention this. As I was listening to Flesh and Blood and I went back to your debut, I was thinking to myself, before the press release even got to me, I was like, you know what? How crazy would it be if they cite Slayer and Chimera? They would fit so perfectly on this tour, which I've never seen Chimera in person, but you got those bands aren't playing anymore, but you guys would fit right on that bill. Anyway, go ahead. Please go ahead. I'm so sorry. I had to mention that.
It's all good, man. I mean, I'm glad that you, like, without even, like,
It's
I guess,
crazy.
like,
Like that once I
unprompted, you
saw
got that.
And
Unprompted, you got it.
I heard it in the
Cool.
riffs. I heard it in the lyrical, the way you're singing, man. It just fits so well on that. And I was like, man, does Mark Hunter know about these guys? Like that would be so sick to have you guys on a bill like Chimera. Of course, this is from a Chimera a fan. Like, grew up with listening to those guys. But
Yeah.
while we're on the topic, songs like Flesh and Blood, which, by the way, great job on, laying these songs out, because Flesh and Blood really set the tone for the album, all the way to Knife in the Dirt, to Cobalt, to Escuadra's Chimera. Hopefully, I'm not butchering the name. Kyle went on to say that we want this music to take you to the world that we built it with. Check, that mental checklist in my head. Like, you've checked that off for me. This album took me in, it beat me to a pulp, and kept me there. And I didn't want to leave. I wonder how much did things change from when you first started composing on this album to where you ended up finishing it. Did a lot change in between? Did nothing change? Did you guys have like a specific sound you wanted from day one, or did it just evolve into what it is today?
Well, so I think that like a big struggle with this album was getting everybody on the same page with like the vision that it ended up being. Because I'll give like a bunch of credit to Kyle. He kind of had the broad spectrum vision creatively and aesthetically of what we should probably go for here. It was like, like I said, it was like we didn't want to do Surface Noise Part Two. What's the natural progression of this band? And, how do we make like this fusion of hardcore and metal that we want for ourselves? And he kind of had the broad spectrum view aesthetically, like musically, he kind of had an idea too. And like we kind of came to the conclusion that it was like no matter whatever we're playing, if you put my voice over it, it's still going to sound like Judiciary. And we are hardcore kids. We cannot help ourselves but to make it sound at least a little bit like a hardcore song, even if we are playing a full metal song, which is the result of this thing. So getting everybody on the same page of like, no, we don't need to write hardcore songs that are metal influenced. We need to write metal songs, and they will naturally sound like hardcore songs. So getting everybody on that same page, that took a couple of shifts. And getting everybody kind of like a no, not that riff, this riff. Hey, do this differently. Hey, do that differently. Even like when we were recording, it came down to like when we were recording. That's why we asked Arthur to be the producer on it, because he's worked with like some of the biggest metal. Like he's worked with Power Trip. He did the Caballera Conspiracy record that came out a few years ago, which is one of my favorites. The new Soulfly record too. Like so, like he pulled me down too. That was just like. I would record like a vocal track, and he's like, "No, that sounds like a hardcore band. Like, pull yourself back a little bit." So like, it took on a life of its own and shifted shapes a few times, but eventually came to what you hear it as now. But it was hard, like trying to get everybody like on the same page and in the same mindset throughout the whole process. But we did as best as we could, and I think the product speaks for itself.
Bro, you see the grin on my face because Arthur Rizik has been mentioned countless times on my podcast. Shout out to him, because he also did the Xibalba record a few years back. Another great guys again. But you mentioned Power Trip, you mentioned Cavalier Conspiracy. The sound itself was a big part of this record that I really love, Jake. I'm an audiophile these days. I'm very picky on how I want my music to sound, the way I want it to sound. I didn't have to mess with much. Arthur Rizik produced it. But also, I want to mention Will Putney, because he also mixed and mastered him. Will Putney was also on our show. Shout out to him a couple years back. And he's known for his work with Body Count, Vane, and so on and so forth. Talk about this for a minute here. I mean, I'm sure it gave you that sense of comfortability, right? Having people like Arthur, having people like Will working on this record with you. It's one thing to translate mind, pen to paper when you write your lyrics, but it's another thing to transition it to how you want it to sound. Hardcore, it's one thing to read it, but it's another thing to actually deliver it, make the impact to the listener, and just like, holy shit, that hits me right here. I
Yeah.
mean, you achieved that on this record. I don't know how you're gonna top this. Flesh Blood. Okay, good luck going forward. But
Yeah.
yeah, but Arthur and Will and the production side of things, I just wanted to touch that a little bit more, because it cannot be stressed enough how great it was.
Yeah, I mean, like they did pretty much to a T what we wanted. When I say we wanted to make this perfect blend of like metal and hardcore that also goes into the sound of the record. So we went to Arthur because we're just like, hey, you can give us this more, as cliche as it sounds, more raw recording style, and we know that you're going to make it have personality, and you know that we're going to, we know that you, we can trust you to make it sound like kind of gritty and like dirty, but in a good way. And so we'll take this dirty recording that has a lot of personality, and then we look over at Will and we say, hey, Will, polish it up. And they, that's exactly what we wanted. And it made this old school sound of what we were going for merge with this new school production style that Putney is so fucking good at. Like, and
He's
it's,
so good, isn't he? It's insane
yeah.
how like any hardcore man, he's like, oh, give it to me. I got it. As soon as you
Yeah.
mention the word hardcore, like a light goes off in his head and he's like, all right, I know exactly what to do here.
Yeah. And it was like the perfect, and obviously we gave him reference like to records we like, but it was like the perfect like merger of the two and gave us exactly what we wanted sound wise. So yeah, it couldn't have been better.
You know, between writing and structuring the songs and the production process, like we just talked about, you know, keep all this in mind as I'm asking this because I'm excited to talk about this part, the lyricism throughout this album, right? It comes with, I feel like it comes with the territory of hardcore, you know, social issues, morality, power. I also think the subject matter also reflects from a lot of personal experiences from you guys, you know, even your bandmates. Like you have a song like, let's pick the last one, for example, Eschatos Chimera.
Eschatos Mara, yeah.
Eschatos Chimera. See, I knew I was butchering it.
You're
Thank you.
good.
Thank
You're good.
you.
You're good.
Sorry, guys. And that song, you know, it depicts, you know, about religious texts that refers to the apocalypse. Just an example. I begin to think of the tangibles like a theme or a message to your music because the message of hardcore, it's so important, I feel like. It really drives the band to get their point across. It's why we kick on stage. It's why we throw these punches. That's why we mosh to get our energy out there. How important are themes to you, Jake? You know, is that a big component to songwriting for a band like Judiciary?
That was a huge component for this record. Especially like I think that in the past I feel like the lyrics kind of informed the imagery that we kind of presented ourselves at, as. And I think on this one we wanted to be a little bit more intentional about like what does this, what do these songs sound like? What, like Kyle said, what world do we want it to take you to sonically? That's why the music video is so fucking crazy, is that's
It's
the
so
world we
good.
envisioned.
I didn't
That's
mention
the world,
the
yeah, that's the world we envisioned when we were writing the fucking songs. And so it's like lyrically, how do I translate that and sprinkle in these little subtle things to make it feel like the entire package? So thematically, to your point, like that's where I wanted to go. Now, like obviously, like there's some like nuance and personal stuff that I do in there to relate it to me because I don't want to write something that's just, I don't want to write a fucking fantasy story. Like that's for other people. I'm not interested in that. I like some of that stuff. Like fucking
I wouldn't
Eternal
mind an album
Champion.
like that.
I mean, Eternal, Jason Tarpey wrote an entire fucking comic book for Eternal
That's true.
Champion. That's really
That
cool. I can't do that. I
We
don't
could
want to
dive
do
into
that.
that. We have to dive in like on a different episode. That's
Yeah.
that'll open up a whole different conversation.
But like, so thematically, it was just like, okay, on this record, I want to match the world that we're trying to like create sonically. But also, like, I feel like in past records, I wasn't as introspective as I could have been. And I wanted to kind of change it up and like look inwards a little bit in these lyrics and like try to project that out and like see, you know, what sticks essentially.
Man, do you ever fall into that trap where the record, like the press is done, and then once you hear the final version of it, it's like, you know what? Shit, I should have done it this way. I
Man,
don't know what it's like for a hardcore vocalist. I gotta ask that question.
in past records, I think that I've done that. With this one, I haven't really felt that,
Hell
honestly,
yeah. Love
which
it.
is a crazy feeling. Like, I think that listening back, obviously, like to your point, there's like some takes where like, oh, I could have come in a little bit stronger there or something like that. But like, as far as like, oh, I should have done the pattern this way instead of this way, or like I could have changed this to make it for the better. I haven't really felt that a lot, like, which is crazy. to feel, because I feel like with how long we've been sitting on these songs, I should feel some sort of like we could have redone that better, but I can't, honestly.
I mean, like I said, remember when I told you how this is going to stand up? It's going to be perfect by the end of the year. It's going to stay on a lot of people's top 10 lists. It's going to stay on mine for sure, you know, because like I said, like, and when it comes to hardcore, sign me the fuck up, dude. And you guys really knocked it out of the park with this one. Jake, I know we're clocking in pretty heavily, about an hour, but I really want to appreciate you for just doing this with me, man. Man, let's stay in touch, dude, like on the socials and so on and so forth. I can't wait till you guys are here. I'll probably be the one going ape shit. I don't mosh as much, but when you guys are on stage doing your thing on April 1st, you'll know who I am. But I know we covered a good amount of ground on this awesome interview, you know, conversation really. Again, thank you so much for sharing about, you know, who you are and what Judiciary is all about, representing Texas really in the form of display of art that you guys are, you know, from the different experiences and perspectives in your timeline that you've taken in, which we've discussed about, and performing for as long as you have, and the people you've met and work with during this record, touring, your growing fan base, getting through the goddamn pandemic, you know, your relationship with your bandmates, yourself and the music. And I feel like we're also entering an important part in Judiciary's career with this banger, specifically this record. I'm excited to see where you guys go from here, man. There's definitely a level of inspiration to what you're doing here, Jake, and you're seeing results. May I remind you, okay? You're doing this shit, but you're seeing all this happening. It's not every day you get a recognition from Revolver, man. Let me remind you, that's a big deal, you know? Celebrate your successes along the way. That's an important thing. That's one thing I've learned about the pandemic. I haven't done that. I'm trying to do that more and more. So I just wanted to throw that your way because I love what you guys are doing. I'm going to round it up to this last question here, because as I'm thinking about this, have your aspirations as a musician, right? Or hell, as a human being, have they changed or evolved since when you first started performing in the industry? Like, do you see things differently today?
I think I see things differently in a, we've done a lot. I've gotten more peeks behind the curtain, and I think I know more about what's going on and like what, you know, people are doing and what people have done in the past. But I think that, to kind of tie it all up in a bow, I'm still just doing cool shit to make myself happy. Like, that's, we're just like, I think that sometimes people forget that we, a band from Lubbock, Texas, should not have done what we've done so far. Like, on paper, that is a very hard thing to fucking pull off. A band from Lubbock, Texas should not have played Hellfest. A band from Lubbock,
I forgot Texas, you guys played Hellfest. That's amazing.
Like, that, a band from Lubbock, Texas has their work cut out for them. So it's crazy to think. I'm very, very fortunate, and I feel like I'm driving a fucking stolen car sometimes. And I feel like we still have a lot more to do. But at the end of the day, I think my aspirations are still just like, let's ride this horse and keep on doing some cool shit to make ourselves happy, essentially.
Bro, fucking A, man. You ever thought about, if you weren't a musician, what would you be doing with your life?
I mean, I'd probably be using my degree more, and I'd probably be, you know, like working at a PR agency or a corporation, like doing PR work. But other than that, I don't know. That's not a reality I'm concerned with. I'm concerned with the one I'm living right now. So.
And you're doing well, man. Keep doing your thing, man, because you're fucking good at it. All right. And
thank you.
Before we finish things off, do you have any last words? Just any shout outs, anything else you'd like to plug in or mention as far as Judiciary and the new album? I don't know if a new music video coming out. What do you can or cannot say? I know you got that album release show coming up, but the floor is yours. What do you want to close out with?
Yeah. So Flesh and Blood out March 10th. You can pre-order that or order it depending on when you're listening to this. Over at closedcasketactivities.com. You can also find that at judiciarytx.com. Also, we are doing those two record release shows in our hometown of Lubbock, in Dallas, and in Austin with Inclination, Travel Gaze, Future Shock. And then we have Flesh Rot opening up Lubbock, Max Buell opening up Dallas, and a new band called MO opening up Austin. And it's going to be a good time. So I advise, if you can, come out. the package is going to be a really fun, and it's going to make for a fun night. So,
Jake, much love, man. Nothing but the best for you and the boys from here on out. Go crush it out there. Have a great week leading up to a great couple weeks at least leading up to the release date. I will see you here on April 1st. And everyone who is listening, Jake Collinson from Judiciary, you heard it from him. Flesh Blood drops March 10th on Closed Casket Activities. Stream it. Maybe you could do me a favor, maybe even Jake a favor. Buy the record because the bands can't do it without your help. Even the merch, you know, that goes a long way. Especially today. You can listen to this podcast on all major podcast streams out there. Check us out at interviewandfire.com. Jake, keep me posted if you want to do the Wings interview when you get here. I think it'll be a fun gig. At some point in the future, we gotta do it. I feel like we talk about it, we gotta do it.
Yeah.
I'll do it for you guys. We got it. You're not hardcore unless you live hardcore. I said that earlier. I'm gonna say it again. That's how it goes. But anyway, I'll let you go, man. Much love again. Take care of yourself, man, and I'll see you in a couple months. Well,
All
next
right.
month,
Thanks,
really,
man.
because March 1st is a couple days and then a month, really.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
We're on the same page. I got you.
Yeah. All right, brother. Peace.
Peace, man. Thank you.
Bye.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to Interview Under Fire podcast. If you guys liked what you heard, please subscribe and share our channel. And please leave a 5-star review as that helps us tremendously. If you'd like to check out more, visit www.interviewunderfire.com or our social media channels on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. And finally, we want to thank you all for the support you've been giving us. Keep it burning.